Aden grew up into the branches of the pines. A field of roses bloomed beneath the plane trees. Here and there lilies rocked upon the turf. The paths were strewn with black sand mingled with powdered coral, and in the centre the avenue of cypress formed, as it were, a double colonnade of green obelisks from one extremity to the other. Far in the background stood the palace, built of yellow mottled Numidian marble, broad courses supporting its four terraced stories. With its large, straight ebony staircase, bearing the prow of a vanquished gallery at the corners of every step, its red doors quartered with black crosses, its brass gratings protecting it from scorpions below, and its trellises of gilded rods closing the apertures above, it seemed to the soldiers in its haughty opulence as solemn and impenetrable as the face of Hamilcar. The council had appointed his house for the holding of this feast. The convalescents lying in the table of Eskmoun had set out at daybreak and dragged themselves thither on their crutches. Every minute others were arriving. They poured in ceaselessly by every path, like torrents rushing into a lake. Through the trees the slaves of the kitchens might be seen running scarred and half-naked. The gazelles fled bleating on the lawns. The sun was setting, and the perfume of citron trees rendered the exhalation from the perspiring crowd heavier still. Men of all nations were there. Ligurians, Lusitanians, Balearians, Negroes, and fugitives from Rome. Beside the heavy Dorian dialect were audible the resonant Celtic syllables rattling like chariots of war, while Ionian terminations conflicted with consonants of the desert as harsh as the jackal's cry. The Greek might be recognized by his slender figure, the Egyptian by his elevated shoulders, the Cantabrian by his broad calves. There were Carians proudly nodding their helmet plumes, Cappadocian arches displaying large flowers painted on their bodies with the juice of herbs, and a few Lydians in women's robes, dining in slippers and earrings. Others were ostentatiously daubed with vermilion and resembled coral statues. They stretched themselves on the cushions, they ate squatting around large trays, or lying face downwards they drew out the pieces of meat and sated themselves, leaning on their elbows in the peaceful posture of lions tearing their prey. The last comers stood leaning against the trays watching the low tables half hidden beneath the scarlet coverings and awaiting their turn. Hamilcar's kitchen being insufficient, the council had sent them slaves, ware and beds, and in the middle of the garden, as on a battlefield when they burn the dead, large bright fires might be seen, at which oxen were roasting. Anise sprinkled loaves alternated with great cheeses, heavier than discuses, crateras filled with wine, and cantharuses filled with water, together with baskets of gold filigree work containing flowers. Every eye was dilated with the joy of being able at last to gorge at pleasure, and songs were beginning here and there. First, they were served with birds and green sauce in plates of red clay, relieved by drawings in black, then with every kind of shellfish that is gathered on the Punic coasts, wheaten porridge, beans and barley, and snails dressed with cumin on dishes of yellow amber. Afterwards, the tables were covered with meats, antelopes with their horns, peacocks with their feathers, whole sheep cooked in sweet wine, haunches of she-camels and buffaloes,